I'm Evan DeWald, and I am joined by Tara Lindsley, and we are the voices behind the Unpacked podcast. On the Unpacked podcast, one of the things we love to do is talk about life and storytelling, and sometimes life gets messy and vulnerable and all those things. So we have conversations with counselors, with psychologists, with industry leaders, storytellers, and just regular humans that are making a difference in the world.
Yeah, and we're just hoping to grow and reflect and heal together. So you can find our podcast anywhere you subscribe to your podcasts. New episodes come out every Thursday. Enjoy.
Make sure to like and subscribe.
See you there. Hey, Tara.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Why?
Well, we're doing this intro before the week of.
You're right.
So right now, any chance you've got a baby in your hand? Hands. You should hold babies with two hands.
Especially this one.
This one. I don't think you're going to be able to hold this baby with one hand.
That's right. There is a baby.
I know we've told our listeners already, but you got some life transforming things going on right now, don't you?
Yeah, just a bit. Becoming a mom of two. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
And I'm in South Africa right now.
What? So what did you do today? This is the question for the intro.
Okay.
How is the weather?
The weather. I bet it's very hot. It's very hot, probably like 30 degrees.
Oh my gosh. It was so cold today.
Yeah.
January. It's like minus 30. We're like 30s on the opposite ends of the spectrum here.
I know, right? How crazy is that?
Oh,
man. Also, but you will appreciate this. I will have air conditioning, or I do have air conditioning.
You need it. Yeah. After that trip back in November.
Yeah.
October.
Yeah.
Back in October to Haiti. No air conditioning there.
Right.
No fun.
I know. I do better in that than you. I like the heat somewhat, but the humidity there that time.
That was wild.
It was crazy.
Okay, so you got this baby. What's this baby's name?
Zoe.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And have you given names to the rest? Like the middle names and all that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Her middle name is my grandma's name.
Oh. Lian.
And then her African name is Zama.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means?
I don't yet. I will find out.
Lillian obviously means awesome lady.
Yeah. Amazing person.
Amazing person. But you haven't looked up the other one yet.
I did. I forgot right now. It's not in front of me right now.
I'm sure it's awesome.
Yeah. I know Theo's name. I remember his is like happiness.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why? They missed that one, didn't they?
I think you've said that before. Hers is something we could look really quick.
That was a miss.
I can't remember.
Actually, he's pretty happy.
He is when you get him one-on-one.
Yeah.
But
it's just winning him over that first like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. It's just the first part of your day. Okay. Her name translates into take a chance.
Oh, I love that.
Sweet, right?
Yeah, that is sweet. Cool. Well, I'm sure that you and Ryan and Theo and Zoe are having a great time together.
Hopefully.
30 degree weather.
Yeah. That part I do like. The other part I don't like was that Instagram before we left was sending me terrifying reels of, you know, some exotic animals that live there. And I don't need that in my brain.
Oh, like giant cobras that live in South Africa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I might have seen one or two.
Like in real life or the real?
Not in real life. No. Oh, no. Those are traumatizing things for me. So
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
Almost like having like your bestie leave for like 6 to 7 weeks.
Almost like that. Yeah.
Almost like that. You know,
yeah.
So the good news is I've looked up your therapist.
That's good. She's really helpful. Yeah. So she'll be able to help you.
I'll be like, but what would Tara say?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what Tara would say so I could be okay? See, there you go. We just made up an episode that's going to be pretty true to life, I think.
I think it's going to be pretty accurate. Although, what do you think you're doing?
Right now? I'm shivering. it's January.
No, are you like in the shop? Are you...
Well, yeah, I definitely was working in the shop.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, lots of work out there.
Okay.
You know, getting some new clients.
Good.
Yeah, definitely doing some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Enneagram coaching.
Hopefully, this is like commitment moment right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I'm leading a webinar on the Enneagram and parenting. Okay. I just put out a commitment there.
I was like, wow.
So if it hasn't happened by now, Evan... time to get your shit together and get on it.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize we could, you know what? All our intros need to have future messages to ourselves.
Future message to ourselves. That is, we definitely should be doing that.
Because it's like, what other reminders do you want me to give you while I'm away?
If this episode shows up and you haven't gotten a haircut, dude, get it done. It's time. You're looking bad.
Also, Tara's birthday's coming up. Get her a gift.
There you go. There you go. That's a good one, too.
Yeah. That's good. We'll have a few in every episode of lists of things to remember while I'm away. Also, just make sure the episodes come out. Like, not that you can fix it or do anything about it.
Well, maybe, Evan, learn how to edit a podcast.
Great.
Oh, man. Hey, this intro has been true to form for what the episode's going to be like.
It's so fun.
Yeah, even though we have no idea because we're about to record the actual episode.
I know, we never do this at the same time.
It might not be funny. We'll see.
Maybe we shouldn't commit to being like, we're going to be funny. We're just going to have fun.
Yeah, and we have truly done that already.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, we should throw out our, you know, typical like, subscribe and share.
Right.
It's a huge deal when people like, share, subscribe, even leave a rating. Yeah. All of those things. It's just one of the ways we get our podcast and some of the stuff that we're trying to do out there. Mm-hmm. So I'd love for you to do that. And also you can hang on after, or you could just jump over to Patreon right now and, you know, cha-ching, give us some cash so we can keep doing this. We're having such a good time.
Yeah.
And we hope that our listeners have had a great year and you're in January and hopefully you're in a warm place like Tara is.
I hope that for everyone.
Yeah.
And if you're not, I hope you're doing at least something fun at home.
Yeah. And if you need to, you can reach out. You know, we'll have a connection. I'll be lonely and cold. So yeah, reach out.
Right.
This episode's going to be kind of fun.
I think so.
Yeah. So today, just us. And we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of humor and having some fun and hopefully have a little fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's something that we've needed.
Yeah, I was going to say a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about booking people and episodes, you were like, could we just do something fun, please?
And this is not a slam on any of the topics or individuals we've had on over the last year.
No, of course not.
But we've done some heavy stuff.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot, like we're always looking for the tension where people grow. And those are the moments. But also hearing all those stories and people going through them and sharing them, like that's a lot.
It is. And you know what? It's a funny thing. My observation is that there are some stories for some unknown reason that you just weigh on you heavier than the next. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not that easy to know. We don't just jump on an episode going, this is going to be a hard one. Well, a couple of them, maybe we
sometimes
did.
We know.
Yeah. Medical baby things and children who pass away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you jump on a line like that, you know, that one's going to be heavy.
Yeah. And then sometimes you just don't know how they'll connect to your own story. That's happened to me a few times when I've been like, I can see myself in this.
Yeah.
And you're not expecting that.
Yeah. When somebody describes like, your whole life story.
Yeah. It's a bit jarring occasionally when you're not expecting it.
You
go
do that regulation thing when you do whatever that is. You know, feel the floor. Isn't that what you do? Do you get down and kiss the dirt? I can't remember what it is.
It's okay. I'll send you my therapist. It'll be fine. She'll teach you.
No, there is an importance though to being able to kind of do humor, you know, on the journey along with some of the hard things. And that's what growth and transformation is honestly like.
Yeah. Like I think we're both like this too. There are moments when you need breaks, even when you're trying to grow. There are moments when you need to lighten it up or take a break. And
yeah, I think even like, I know for me, like at one of my defensive strategies as an Enneagram type 7, right, is just to reframe pain so that I don't have to fully engage it or fully experience it. And absolutely, there are moments when that is a superpower. That's actually a gift. And people watch me and watch other sevens and they go, oh, that looks great. Mm-hmm. Unless you're an actual 7.
Right.
Then it doesn't feel as good.
It doesn't. Hey, you're not like, you know it.
You know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is kind of like every other type. Like as you start to discover your type and you start to see these things that aren't great, like that's kind of the confirming factor that you're for sure that type. And yeah, any 7 when they fully grasp that they're a seven, very few of them are like, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Once they grasp what it really means.
Well, that's fair. And I'm sure for a lot of people, like once you see it, it's hard to unsee it.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I even had a client yesterday send me a message saying that they were really hoping that they were a six. Mm-hmm. And so they ordered a book even on the six and read it. And then it just didn't ring true. And so they got the seven book. And their words exactly, it was like in the first few paragraphs, it felt like being punched in the gut.
Ugh.
I was like, yeah, I knew you were a seven like months ago. But it just takes time, right?
Yeah, to discover that about yourself.
It does. And sometimes there are moments when you just go, yeah, this is too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just need a little bit of a break. And that's one of the reasons why I think you get a coach and you get somebody in your life, friends and other people, mm-hmm. right, that can go, oh, you might just need to lighten up for a sec.
Yeah, it's helpful when other people can see it. And also it's okay. Like it happened to me a little while ago where I was like, I can get so stuck in my emotions so quickly,
mm-hmm.
like being an Enneagram too. It just happens very naturally to me. And to move out of that, sometimes I need to like, okay, I'm going to pause on this for a bit.
Yeah.
Like I am working on this, but it's okay to just like pause on this for a bit and like even distract myself. Like it's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come back to it. Like knowing I come back to it.
Yeah. And I think that's growth, right? That is being able to go, okay, I don't have to do everything today.
Right.
I don't have to, you know, tonight when I go to bed, I don't have to be a different person than I was this morning when I woke up. Doesn't have to be that big of a change every day. Some of that has to do with your instinct too.
That makes sense.
For sure. And that can be exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is good to kind of, I don't know if it's pressing pause or if it's actually just going, no, I'm going to relieve some pressure, some tension.
Yeah.
And laugh a little bit or, you know, so all kinds of pressure points that we need released, you know, in the process of growth.
Yeah.
It's partly why exercise is important and like all those kind of things. You can't just constantly in state of diagnosis and self-observation.
Yeah, it's true. You can't. And I also think it's interesting, like releasing this in January when all the messaging is around like setting up your year and goals mm-hmm. and finishing this year well. And what do you want to achieve this year? And also like, you're not like, there's a lot of underlying tone of like, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
If you're feeling sensitive towards that or like, you know, all the weight loss stuff comes out. There's just so much messaging all in January. And I'm not saying don't do that. But if you're in a place where you're like, I could use it a little lighter and maybe I don't have to like hit the ground running in January. That's okay.
Yeah, it is okay. Like who knows? Maybe I'll be listening back to this intro episode that we did and I'll be like, oh man, I didn't do that parenting Enneagram thing. Dang, you're a failure.
But then you'll use nice, positive self-talk.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really good at that.
As a coach.
Can you imagine how important that is?
So important.
Oh my gosh. In fact, you know what? In this last year, I wrote a little book.
Oh, yes, you did.
Yeah, just a little book on how you could look through your story and some of those kind of things. And there's like a whole section on like postures for growth. And one of the things that I talk about a lot is self-compassion, that we need it.
Mm-hmm.
And in coaching and all that kind of stuff, that's what we do. We go like, okay, we learn our type and then we quickly try to learn and start self-compassion language because you are going to catch yourself, you know, in bad patterns and unhealthy patterns and you're going to see it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really do have to actually be good to yourself. And so here's what I had just written in here. It's like, learning and practicing self-compassion is vital to growth. Self-kindness is to treat yourself as you would treat a good friend or a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a huge deal when we talk about growth. And so sometimes I reframe and I jump out and we have a little bit of fun, which we're kind of hoping to do. We've got a bunch of questions and some fun things we want to do a little bit, maybe make fun of each other a little bit.
I think so. Before we move on though, where can people get the book?
Oh, you can get it. Well, just about anywhere, but you can get it even on Amazon.
I know, right?
You can reach out. You can DM me and because, you know, I pretty much bought them out when it first came. So I got a stack of them here.
Good. So people can buy them from you and they can DM us like on Instagram, but also they're on the website.
They're on the website and you can look up Recess Creek, Finding Freedom, Writing Your New Story on Lulu.
Yeah.
Which is another.
It's like a printing platform.
Way of getting it. So, and it really is just it's a workbook on using the Enneagram and some other practices for kind of reflecting on your story. So you've put together some fun questions for us to talk about today.
Yeah, it's a little bit like podcasty themed and get to know us themed. And then also just really fun and silly. So I wanted it to feel like a group of us are like hanging out together. So if you're listening, you can like think about your answers or maybe ask your friends some of the questions. And I just wanted to feel like, well, what our intros feel like most of the time, off the rails silliness of some questions.
They feel completely on the rails for me.
They're so structured. And like every poor guest, we're like off topic all over the place. And then we just guess their bios.
Yeah.
It's really good.
That was something we learned this year.
Yeah.
We were on a lot of podcasts this year. Mm-hmm. And everybody did this really professional job of introducing us.
Yeah.
Read our bios, the whole thing. And we're like, hey, how do you say your name again? What do you do?
What's so funny is like you just said, we learned that at the beginning of doing this. I used to write nice bios like that for us, but they never went over.
No one ever used them. I don't know why.
We used them, but they felt really unnatural to us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So
it wasn't really us.
I write you a really nice, if you come on our show, I write you a really nice episode description.
You do. You're good at those.
So.
Yeah, I don't read them either, but I do think they're great. I'm sure people love them.
I don't think people read them either, if it helps. Okay.
Okay. Anyways. So Unpacked, since the very beginning, mm-hmm. has really been about stories and the messiness of life. We've done these two things as best we can simultaneously. Hear people's stories, acknowledge the messiness, and in a lighthearted way, ask some good questions that kind of hopefully draw out the story for our listeners to hear, learn, and grow from. Mm-hmm. And that's how we've grown.
Yeah.
And we've made some good friends.
We really have.
We really have. And got to really get to know them because of mm-hmm. this platform. So I think that's one of my favorite things about doing the podcast, like far and away.
Yeah, I think me too. And also like the fact that we get to learn and grow with people at the same time.
Yeah.
Like having that in front of you every week is pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
We're going to do some rapid fire questions. We're going to kind of jump around.
Yeah, I think
in true Unpacked, maybe in true Evan form.
Right.
As opposed to...
It was a fun episode. So there's structure to it. Like we have notes. But...
We do have notes.
Okay. Do you want me to ask you the first one?
Sure. Okay. Here, before we start with this.
Okay.
So you did send me these last night.
What did I say in the email to you?
You said you're probably not going to read these.
Yeah.
Until you came here. I thought I had read these, but I think maybe I might skim these very quickly, not realizing I needed answers.
Oh.
So you might have to help me fill in the blanks a little bit, but.
I think you'll be able to come up with answers to them.
Okay.
I've never known you not to be able to think on the spot.
Yeah, I think I can handle it.
Also, we're editing, so you know.
That's right. We're going to be good.
Okay.
No problem.
All right. In the podcast, what's the catchphrase you say all the time? And what's the one I say all the time? Like, what would be the thing that we're always like, I can't believe I say that so much.
I think I say the word curious a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious. And what do you say? You see, we don't notice other people's thing.
Right. When you're listening back.
No, I don't notice it.
Yeah, that's fair.
What do you say? We've talked about this before.
Yeah. You know what I think I say a lot?
What?
Like.
Oh.
I say that a lot. And I also do a lot of like, okay, mm-hmm. Like I have to edit that out a lot.
Yeah. You do the mm-hmm thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. just now.
Don't edit that out now. Oh, yeah.
It was so natural.
Was that by accident? Yeah. You just did that. It was funny.
So true. You also say right.
Oh, I do say right. Yes.
So I take that out a lot.
When I'm trying to connect with people.
Yeah.
Or convince people, I'll say those two things.
Yeah, there's one other. I think sometimes we both say, I wonder.
I wonder about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we do say that. One of the things I would say, this past year, I've been asking people for the stats.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And you even suggested maybe I ask it a little differently.
I did, yes.
Yeah, which I tried. But I have noticed I continued to do it even after you said, maybe say it a little bit differently.
No, you changed.
Did I?
Yeah, because you were using a baseball card analogy.
Yes, I was.
And that was the tricky one. It was a different way, but it was a way of not saying the baseball card, but saying the baseball card. It was good.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Well, so, we're learning.
There we go. Okay. So a totally different direction.
Okay.
Like nothing to do with podcasting.
True fashion.
Yeah. So on to the next.
Okay.
What, this is what I always think about when I'm working out and a song comes on that I'm like, I would never expect, like no one would ever expect this is a song I would have on my playlist.
Oh.
So Do you have a song on your playlist that people would never expect you to have?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know the name of it? Cause I don't remember the artist on mine.
Say Something, I'm Giving Up on You.
Oh,
it's super sad.
Yeah. All our friends know that's your song. Yeah. You talk about that one. Okay. The one I have is Lemon featuring Drake. It's like more like kind of upbeat, but like rap, pop rap.
Oh
yeah.
Do you sing it like word for word? Sing it?
No.
Oh,
I just listen to it when I work out.
Okay. Okay. Let me just look on mine here. I'll go to my favorite song list.
Okay.
Which is referred to as Dad's Singing Songs. Okay.
Why is it?
Because we have a family shared thing.
Oh,
and so
got it.
I had it in there and then it got altered.
Like someone else named it?
Yeah.
Oh, funny. Like I thought you named it.
Yeah. The Alphabet Song.
The Alphabet Song?
Yep.
What song is that?
It's like A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
L-M-N-O-B.
Yes. I've listened to that a lot. I bet you. Actually.
Not funny that shows up on my... That is a funny one. Mm-hmm. Makes me laugh.
It's way better than listening to kids' songs.
Okay. Random question.
Okay. You're just jumping.
Okay.
In true form, are you making one up?
Yep. On the same theme though.
Okay.
Playlist. What's your fight song?
My fight song?
Yeah.
What is that?
A song
mean?
That just gets you, you know, like you can angry sing it loud in the car.
Oh, okay.
And maybe it's just this year, but it's like, I need that song.
There's certainly songs that are like certain times in my life that they remind me of things. Okay. You have one?
I do.
What is it?
This Is Me from The Greatest Showman.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see where. Oh, I like Alive by Sia.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a good one.
There you go.
We'll just link them so people, because we can't actually like play them on here.
Yes, I was just about to play it.
I know, we can't.
Yeah.
We'll get like banned.
Yeah.
From Apple.
But we've been banned from everywhere else.
I mean, whatever. Okay, on the theme of embarrassing things.
Oh no, here we go. Okay, I'm ready.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah.
There have been a few intros last year that you were sharing that you've been watching a show.
Oh yeah. Yes. So, I'm on season 9. I started season 9.
How many seasons are there?
9.
You're going to finish.
By the time this episode is released, I will know the ending.
Okay. And also, how sad. Does that make you sad when a show is going to end?
No.
Oh.
And just because, you know what? I'm a real finisher. So I get into it and I got to finish. You know, I just have to listen to all the episodes until I'm done. So I can't just move on until it's completed. You're like, well, I just stop when it's happy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That means you could end at the end of any season.
No. Not always do I have to do that. Just sometimes. If it's feeling too dramatic and I need to pause in the theme of the whole day of this episode, then I wait till everybody's happy. Yes, I've done that. Okay, so what show are we talking about?
All right. Well, I've been this year... fall, at least last fall, I guess it's last fall now. I've been watching teen drama One Tree Hill.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to jump back to when we recorded this episode. I'm in season 8. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you a little teaser.
What
happened?
Okay.
I have a new favorite character. I changed my character over.
Really?
Yeah. Used to be a big Lucas fan.
Okay.
These characters, though, as adults, are great. Way better.
Yeah, I never watched until they grew up, so this is great.
Yeah, Nathan and Haley have a great marriage currently.
Okay.
You know, who knows
what
season 9 brings. They're great parents. They've had another child. So they have 2 kids. And they're just really awesome together.
Do they have 2 boys?
No, one boy and 1 girl.
Okay, interesting. I thought they were going to make it so they'd have 2 boys. You know?
And their son, he's into baseball.
Interesting.
Yeah, plot twist.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because they play basketball in the show.
And they're awesome, but they're not my favorite character.
Okay.
And this is so embarrassing.
Okay.
Last night. So Brooke is my favorite character now. No lie.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Total space cadet in high school.
Yeah.
Turns into this like awesome entrepreneur, business owner, you know, all kinds of other things. Cares for people like crazy.
She was always savvy.
Yeah. Wants children really bad. Mm. Foster mom, one of the seasons. No wow. lie. Of a teenager.
Oh.
It's pretty awesome.
Okay. I like it.
There you go.
I'm glad I had the update.
You might have to watch One Tree Hill.
Well, maybe I'll download it all for some.
There you go.
A certain trip that takes a billion hours. I'm going to be watching some shows maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. So should we see what character we are on One Tree Hill?
You have a test?
I have a test.
Oh my.
Okay, you ready? Yes.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to read it to you and then we'll answer the questions and see what character you are since you're such a big fan.
Okay, let's find out.
Okay.
I'll try to be honest.
What's your favorite hobby in high school? Reading, listening to music, playing sports? Does the mall count?
Playing sports.
Obviously. Okay. How would your friends describe you? Loyal, creative, outgoing, dedicated?
Outgoing.
Okay. Who is the most important person in your life?
Like currently?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be tough for you.
Yeah.
Kidding. It says my significant other, my best friend.
Oh.
My parents, my siblings. Obviously, Kristen.
Yeah.
What's your dream car? A Volkswagen Beetle, a Mustang, convertible. I prefer to walk.
Oh, I want to say the Mustang, but it's a Ford.
I know. I felt that for you. Yeah.
But it's a Mustang over a convertible.
Or yeah. The Beetle?
No. No. Can you see me in a... Oh, my God.
No. But we can see me in one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. What's your dream job? Ooh, this is going to be really revealing. Music producer, athlete, writer, fashion designer. Oh, such good choices.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to have to say writer.
Oh, really? You didn't want to be a hockey player?
Well, no. In high school, I did want to be a hockey player.
Well, this is current now. Okay. I clicked writer. It revealed. Are you ready?
I know who it is.
Drum roll, please.
Just let me guess.
Who's your guess?
My guess? It's Lucas.
No, it's Nathan.
What?
I know, right? It's all your answers were very... Lucas like although you had to pick the Beetle I think or the convertible for him. He's not outgoing.
Oh, but he's a writer. Nathan's not a writer.
I know.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, listen to your description. Like Nathan, you're confident and athletic. You may seem tough and intimidating at times, but you've got a good heart and would do anything for your friends. That's true.
That sounds about right.
Okay, should I do mine or do you just want to leave it on yours?
No, let's hear yours real quick.
Okay, because I was like, I don't know what we're at for time.
Yeah.
Okay. My favorite hobby in high school, shopping probably.
Not sports?
I didn't play as much in high school because I had this surgery in high school. So it kind of deterred that a little bit in grade 11.
Even volleyball?
Yeah, I couldn't play.
I didn't know that.
How would your friends describe you? Dedicated, probably. Mm-hmm. The most important person in my life.
Best friend.
My husband. My dream car, we already established. It's not my dream car, but I would pick the Beetle.
Yeah.
Ooh, dream job. Wouldn't it be funny if I was like athlete? I think writer too. Although fashion designer could be fun. I'm going to pick that just to mix it up. Okay, who's your guess?
It's Brooke.
Yes!
100%. I knew it was going to be Brooke. That's so funny.
Yeah, that is really funny.
She has two kids now.
Aw.
Yeah, so do you.
Yeah, what do you know? And she's positive, outgoing, and fierce is what it says. So there we go.
That's a good description of you too.
Yeah, that works, right? Anyways.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it.
I guess I'm going to have to watch now.
I think so.
Okay. So like the next little bit that I planned for us
is
to go like some questions that are a little bit deeper, but still light.
Okay.
But they involve more growth and like funny things.
Okay.
So one of the things I was thinking about though, that might be helpful for people when I was planning this episode was I always liked your explanation between laughter and like crying. Because I always found that really helpful. And sometimes that's a good connection to remember.
Yeah. You know what? It was something I used to use when I was doing funerals, but I often will use it now in coaching. That really, like, scientifically, your body is kind of designed to take care of itself. So when you cry, you really, it releases chemicals into your system that actually help you to kind of feel better. It's a scientific fact that that's what's happening in your body when you have those emotions. It's part of the reason why after you have a really good cry, sometimes you feel better.
Right.
Because you kind of let it all out kind of thing. But it's also the chemicals that are released in your body. So what I often tell people, and it's not just telling them, it's a fact, that almost the exact same chemicals are released in your body when you laugh. And so it's one of the interesting things that's kind of taking place, that actually laughter is just as healing for us as tears are. Now, you might not be naming as much truth and some of those kinds of things, and that maybe that's the difference, but it is important actually to kind of incorporate both, to give yourself permission to be sad sometimes, which is hard for some types, and then also to give yourself permission to just laugh and have some fun, which is hard for some types.
Right.
Actually, right? Especially when we're trying to do something important like growth and transformation or whatever that might be. But it is one of the reasons why, and I've always experienced this when I was up in front and speaking to people and all those things, is that you could tell a story that was maybe meant to make us reflect and experience maybe some of more internal, deep kind of emotions like sadness and grief and some of those kinds of things, be moved. And it was interesting because it was almost easier to transition to laughter. And I could see it from up front that I might tell a story that particularly touched people, made them tearful or whatever. And I could tell a joke afterwards and people would laugh just as easily.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And I actually asked somebody this last year and why that was. And they just simply said, it's like all the chemicals are there. So the transition is actually easier to go from sadness to laughter or laughter to sadness than it is to go back to your
like baseline.
Your baseline. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it takes you a little bit longer to come down from a cry or to come down from a hard laugh than to go into something different that's even more serious. So you should do both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really also important. Kind of like reminds me too that so many of the therapists we talk to always talk about like connection and community.
Yes.
And both need to be experienced.
Yep.
With people.
Absolutely.
They don't need to be like, you can laugh by yourself, I guess, but it's way more fun with someone else.
It's fun.
No.
No. Even when you just send the LOL.
Yeah.
Oh man, the LOL is given out way too freely these days.
You think so?
I do think so.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So what would you?
Like if you actually laughed out loud, because now if you actually laugh out loud, you have to actually say, I actually, and then you have to spell it, laughed out loud.
Oh, you feel like we have to actually qualify.
Yes. Yeah, so if you send me a reel and I do LOL, I didn't actually laugh out loud.
Oh, you're going to be the laugh out loud police.
I should be. It's more authentic. If you're just giving away free LOLs all the time and you're not actually making people laugh. I don't want that kind of laugh out loud.
Okay, but then where does, because I send the emoji, the laughing emoji.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I would expect that it's on speed dial for you, so it's just as cheap. If you got to look it up in the menu of your emojis,
okay,
then I think that's worth it. That's worth it. Yeah, you put the time in to be okay, like, but hold on. You actually made me laugh out loud.
But also, autocorrect, like, proposes emojis.
It does.
So where does that land?
Okay. Which emoji which emoji gets most suggested to you by autocorrect?
By autocorrect?
Yes.
Either the heart or the laughing. Why? What do you have?
I'm just saying then those two are the cheapest of responses.
The heart is the cheapest of responses. Yes.
Yep.
I think you're calling into questioning my authenticity, but I actually think this is revealing of yours.
I know. I'm just saying.
I disagree. And then also I feel a little bit like I'm never sending you a laughing emoji or an LOL until I laugh now.
I'm going to have to work harder.
Yep. So, in the name of like growth and those kind of things, what kind of like, do you have any stories that were like funny that taught you something? Like, I know a lot of the time we feel tension, and that's like hard moments is when we learn and grow. But anything funny ever happened to you that taught you something?
Yep.
Like what?
Okay. A few years ago in Haiti.
Okay.
Like 20 some odd years ago in Haiti. Here's the thing. Friendship and connection is communicated differently. Mm-hmm. Okay. So like holding hands.
Right. And lots of cultures.
With a man is lots of cultures.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. No big deal. So this is like 20 years ago and I still probably quite homophobic.
Okay.
I think I could probably say that. I don't know if I was ever really homophobic, like scared of. I just didn't understand. We talked a lot about this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
So I go down to the road and I was going to walk up to the clinic and I meet this guy's name is Jude on the street. Mm-hmm. And he reaches out his hand and in kind of a high five kind of a way. Mm-hmm. So I reach out, slap him a high five, but it was the same hand. And so he just grabbed onto my hand, brought it down to his side and didn't let go. Mm-hmm. And so we were walking and we had to walk all the way up to the clinic holding hands. And this was a new experience for me. And it made me quite uncomfortable and was freaking hilarious at the same time.
Were you with anyone or did anyone?
Yeah, there was people in our group that were with us.
Okay.
And they, because I was the leader, they were all behind me. So, yeah, I was walking walking hand in hand with this guy all the way up to the clinic. And he didn't let go until we got to the clinic.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was funny because, you know, this is what I learned about myself. First of all, I got very hot. Felt even hotter.
Yeah. Like Haiti is too hot for touching a lot of times.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But I think what I learned about myself mm-hmm. was that valuing somebody else and somebody else's culture and what they are about is far more important than my own like ego or image or anything else.
I like that.
And even though I was freaking out internally, mm-hmm. I did not let go.
Yeah. You didn't let go.
No.
Interesting.
And but it was really funny. It still stands as one of my funniest AD stories because it was weird. It was weird for me.
Yeah.
Right? It's not something I'm used to ever. I'm not even used to seeing it at that
That's
time.
True. That's
it was like 20 years ago. It wasn't something I was even used to seeing. And yet I just valued my friendship with this guy and the connection that I made over the, you know, I think it was 2 years in or something like that, like two trips in.
Yeah.
And so I was like, no, that's way more important to me than the inevitable pictures that are being taken right now behind me. So I learned that about myself.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that story.
That story just came to mind just now.
Did it really?
Yep, literally just now when you asked it.
That is funny. Well, and it came up in Haiti. I feel like someone brought it up in Haiti. Did you?
Yeah, but because we saw him.
Oh, yeah, we saw him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we saw him. And he held my hand longer again.
Yeah.
On this trip, but it didn't bug me this time.
Yeah, it's different, right?
Yeah, it's different now. And it's different in so many ways for me. It doesn't even make me uncomfortable.
I think also we weren't used to like years ago, like just even male friends interacting that way.
Yeah.
Like let alone like being gay.
Yeah, you know, and it is a funny thing because even I would say like this would be another thing. Mm-hmm. For years and years and years, I would tell people I'm not really a hugger. The pandemic changed that for me.
Interesting.
Yep. Human contact. All of those things became far more important to me.
Because all of a sudden I was taken away?
Yeah, I think so. I think I actually probably realized how much I really did need.
Yeah.
Sometimes to be hugged just because you care about somebody and you want somebody to care for you.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So I don't, yeah, it's important. But and it's not just, you know, for your kids and spouse. It's for your friends and the people that you care a lot about.
Yeah, I would say too, even saying like that you care about mm-hmm. each other. Like, I think that's also something we don't always do with friends mm-hmm. is express like how much they mean to you and that kind of thing too. It just isn't always as natural.
Yeah.
I think with women, it might be a little bit more, but.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's a funny thing. I'm going to say this because I kind of came up in a conversation I was having this weekend with somebody. They were concerned about me and wondering how this last year and a half has gone and who do I talk to? Who do I connect with? And this was. Somebody was saying this to me and her husband had asked like, who does this? Who cares for Evan? Like, is he just alone out there? And like, this sounds really difficult and some of those things. And her quick response to him was, oh, he has the best friends, like friends you would kill for. She was like, that's just what I told him. Mm. And she couldn't be more right. I really, really do. And I do think there are moments, right, when we don't necessarily always tell those who are close to us how important they are to us. And we really should.
I think so. I think it's important to name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Even like normalizing saying how much you love each other.
Yeah.
That's like a normal thing that we don't always do with friends, especially like I find this too. Like we hang out with our group of friends all mm-hmm. the time. Like we're always seeing some combination of each other.
Yeah.
So it can be really easy sometimes to not say it.
But even Matt was here last night. We watched the hockey game. Had some fun. Yeah. Give him a hug when he left.
Yeah.
So what you should do.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
How about you?
I don't know if I have a story. Like you just like came up with this beautiful one from Haiti and I was like, oh, that's so cool. What did I didn't have a story that came to mind, but a silly thing that happens to me often that I notice about myself and like growth work is if I find myself under the bathroom sink, that's a signal for me in my life. And it's such a funny thing that I laugh at now, but I love organizing and I love like having a clean house and everything has a home. And I'm not like crazy Pinteresty, like everything's in white containers and labeled, like who has time for that? And I don't have money for that, but I just use what I have. And I always make sure everything gets put away. But like, there's a few places in your house that you just kind of, you know, drop things in there. You're like, this has no category, or I don't know what I'm going to do with this or if I want to keep it. And under my bathroom sink, and we have two in our ensuite. So there's like two spots I can find myself in. And when I do, I'm like, oh, this is like stressed on the next level because I am in the middle of usually like doing something else. And I have torn apart everything under the bathroom sink. And my mom and I have a running joke because it's something we both do. But if you like, you find yourself there, you don't intentionally go there. You find yourself there. Tearing apart everything and getting rid of everybody's stuff. Like sometimes it's mine and then sometimes it's like anybody else in my house that I'm purging.
Okay.
Yeah. So if I find myself there, that's usually a moment where I'm like, oh.
Trying to control something here.
Yeah.
And let's be clear. You don't like crawl in and close the door behind yourself inside under the sink.
I don't think I would fit. It's too small under there.
Yeah, it would take a little bit of contortionism. To get in there.
No, but I find myself tearing everything apart and out and like just like stuff that I've had forever. And then I just get rid of it all. But I went there. I can't remember. It was like a couple months ago. I was like under there looking for something and was like about to clean it out. And then I went through everything and was like, I've already done this.
I've been here. I was here last week.
Yeah. Like I had just done it for like a couple months before. So I was like, there's not enough stuff in here.
It'd be like a favor to just come on. I'll come over. Make a mess under your sinks. Then, you know, once a week, just come over. Make
you know
a mess.
What? Like, then when
you
I'm
need
gone, it,
when you need the therapy,
yeah,
you'll be like, wow, who was in here? Some scatterbrain.
When I'm gone, if you could just come into my house once and mess it all up.
Because I'm sure you'll be cleaning when you get home.
I probably will just end up organizing things as I'm home, but
put that in my day timer here.
No worries. I got it. It's on here. It's your to-do list is running.
Oh, yeah. When I listen to this episode. Okay. Right. Go over to Ryan and Tara's mess up under the sink.
Yeah. Got it. Nailed it.
Done. Yeah. Okay.
Anyways, I think it's just a signal to me to pay attention to some things in myself I know that I like to control and that it's an easy place and it is something I can control. So it's not a necessarily terrible habit.
It's not hurting anyone.
It's not hurting anyone. It doesn't affect anyone, except if I get rid of Ryan's stuff, then maybe it does hurt him. It's fine. But I do think it's been helpful and it's like taught me lifelong. And then it is something I laugh about when I'm like, if I say to my mom now, oh, I was under the bathroom sink. Like she knows what that means. And usually it leads me to saying more.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Okay. Another question I had for us, which I don't know if I have an answer for this one either, but because neither of us are really like this when it comes to change. Like we're both kind of people who are really open and try to be flexible and hear different mm-hmm. viewpoints. But sometimes there are things we get really stuck on. So I thought with like a new year, it'd be helpful to be like, are there things that you like nobody can change your mind on?
Yeah.
Like what?
When I think I'm at fault.
Okay.
I have a very hard time being convinced otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Can you say more?
I don't like to... And it happens to me pretty regularly. Right. And my whole thing, which I'm sure you've heard me say multiple times this year, is like, when we reflect back on our stories, we should be thinking, you know, how in the story was I the hero and to who? How in the story was I the victim? How in the story was I the villain? Mm-hmm. And how in the story was I a bystander? And the chances are you were probably all four of those things in that particular story. I resonate most with feeling like I am the villain.
You do.
Yeah. Like I caused harm or I am causing, it's my fault.
But not as a perspective of like, I contributed here.
Yeah.
But like you own all of it.
Yeah. Yep. And that's really, really a challenge. You know, even just when I think about like people who have gone through hard things or, you know, not just in the last year, but just have gone through hard things or going through something difficult. I often can follow a path, a self-critical path back to me being at fault.
Hmm. Of the hard thing.
Yeah. Like even, you know, I was a pastor for 28 years. So people got hurt by the church.
Right.
But I would actually say, well, no, they actually got hurt by me. I was a leader in that place. Mm-hmm. So I created that environment that they got hurt in. So.
Right. It's a quick path.
And it's stupid. It's not.
Well, that's not good self-talk.
I know. I'm not very compassionate right here. I'm not even taking my own advice. But I even realize it sometimes in the moment. I'm like, well, how could I possibly have been responsible for any of that?
Yeah.
But I can chase it back until I am. And I can be really stubborn about it. People are like, well, how could that possibly be? Well, here's how.
Well, and you're quick to rationalize it. Mm-hmm. So it is hard to argue with.
Yeah. 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 I can tell you here's how. Mm-hmm. The rational reason why. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not saying that's a good thing. I think it's something I'm still working on.
That's fair.
Was kind of accepting, no, I'm not responsible for that.
Yeah, I think I would share that with you. That's something I definitely, I don't know if I'm as stubborn about it. I think I look probably for more validation in it not being my fault.
Mm.
But internally, I believe it is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah, I'm just the opposite that way. Because people will tell me, well, how could you be at fault? And lots of times in conversations, I'll just concede. Be like, yeah, you're absolutely right. How could I be at fault?
But you don't believe it.
No.
Yeah.
I think I don't. Yeah. I think the truth is oftentimes I don't. It's not a healthy way to live. And it's something I'm working on and trying to figure out how to just be more free. Mm-hmm. But it's there. That's the messiness of Unpacked. That's the unmessiness. That's the messiness of me.
Yeah.
Sometimes and something that I'm trying to work through and figure out.
Well, coaches and pastors are human.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because, and I would say that's true even for me, like even I have the best advice for others and some and complete blindness for myself and my closest friends, family.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to that, it's like, yeah, it's tricky.
It is. There's just so much involved in it.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. And then also with yourself, I think that's why you need outside people and perspectives. But the work for me too is to believe it.
Yeah. There you go. That was a serious answer to a serious question.
Well, yes.
It was.
It was a serious answer. That's okay. We can do that too.
Okay, there you go. What's the next one? Let's move on.
Let's move on. Quickly. Nothing else you're stubborn about?
Yes, I'm stubborn about how we should get somewhere when we're traveling. But dude, I have a plan in my head of how we should get there. Mm-hmm. Whether it's going to run errands in the city or whatever. And I can be extremely stubborn about that.
Yes, like the route.
Yeah. Like it's not uncommon for me to get an argument with like Google Maps.
That seems helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Google Maps and like iMaps are getting way smarter. Like they know the traffic and stuff. Like how could I possibly know that when I'm putting that in my calculations? But
that is really funny.
Weird fun fact.
Yeah.
When I think about where I'm going to travel, I'll think about how many lights I have to go through.
You will?
Uh-huh.
What?
It's weird. I know I just made a confession.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's funny. So how do you know that?
I just think about the path.
Wow.
How many sets of lights there are.
I can go somewhere like 17 times and never remember that.
Yeah, no, it's all potential, you know, waste of time.
I agree with you. Like, I actually don't like wasting my time at all either.
Yeah, like red lights, waste of time. You should just drive right through those things. You should get the places you're going way faster.
Yeah, great. Good advice. I almost put on here, like, what's a silly ticket you've gotten?
Oh.
But Now we don't need to because you just drive through red lights.
Yeah. Right? What's a silly ticket I've gotten? It's been a while since I got a ticket. Parking tickets.
Yeah. You had that one a while ago on your road. That one you told me about that day.
Yeah.
It was like,
I didn't get a ticket, did I?
No, you didn't. You got out of a ticket. I forgot. Good one. Yeah.
I got a parking ticket. Just a couple of weeks ago, I got a parking ticket.
From where?
I happened to be driving the van. I saw that, you know, I got the photo thing in the mail. And I was like, where was Kristen?
And then you're like, it was me.
Yep. Then I came home. Kristen's like, I wasn't there. I was like, did Caroline borrow the van that day? I literally was like blaming everybody. I mapped it. Google mapped it. Everything. I was like, this, you know, and this is what was weird. I punched in the address on my phone. Showed me a weird place that none of us would have a reason to go to. Mm-hmm. Then when I looked at the picture, so I was like, none of us were here at this place. Then when I punched in the actual parking lot where the picture was taken, I was like, oh, damn. I know where that was.
Where was it?
City Hall.
Oh, of course it was
Calgary
you.
City Hall. Yeah, it was of course me. Yep.
Oh, that's funny.
Seeing some clients and...
Yeah.
Stayed longer than I should have. Oops.
I had to do parking the other day too when I was downtown and I was like using my app, but I was a few minutes late to it. And that always stresses me out because they get you so fast.
They
down
do.
There. Yeah. So you really have to be on it. But yeah, I don't think I've gotten a ticket yet, but we'll find out. Okay. Because we listen to podcasts all the time, I thought this would be fun. Do you have a podcast that you would listen to or a specific episode of a podcast you would listen to on repeat? Like, is there something that you just go back to ever or?
This is not something I do very, very, no, I don't.
I know, but you do re-listen.
I do re-listen if I think there, like if there's something there, it's like, no, this I need to grasp this more. I need more time to think of it. Because sometimes you listen to something and, you know, I'm sure this is how all our listeners feel. You know, you listen to an episode and you're like, wow, that was so good. And then you're like, I'm going to have to listen to that again because I, you know, got all caught up in my thoughts.
Yeah.
That's happened to me. And so I would say like Typology, that happens on Typology to me.
Yeah.
It me also too. Happens on the Enneagram Journey. So one's Ian Cron, one's Susan Stabile.
Yeah.
Those two, yeah, there are some episodes on both of those that I've re-listened to. Probably my favorite fun podcast that I like to listen to is Armchair Expert.
Yeah.
And mostly the like Armchair Anonymous.
Yeah, just random stories.
I just like random stories. Yeah. I still think we should do that.
It would be really fun to do some random stories. I think people would love that. Yeah, I think those are really good. I like listening to those too.
Yeah.
I could listen to Armchair Expert a lot, but... I don't think on like repeat necessarily. I really like Beatrice Chestnut's like episode on the Enneagram 2s. She has a few. And sometimes when people like specifically Enneagram 2s who are like wanting to grow or have a conversation with me, like I would send her like those episodes.
Yeah. Because they're ours.
After ours. Ours are more of an intro. And then also what I found about hers is I felt really seen as a 2, not just like, we do a good job of that because I am very like aware of it. The 2s sometimes get like, just, you're just a helper. You're just wanting to help. And I'm like, I don't feel helpful. So when you hear that, it can be really confusing.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit totally deeper. Agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's a 2.
Yeah.
Like Beatrice is a 2 and that's a huge, huge deal. Like, yeah, she's not going to be, she does a good job of communicating that.
Yeah. And you don't, there are episodes with 2s, but I think when you hear someone who's the same type as you, like Suzanne is 2.
Yeah.
And I always find her stuff helpful.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to be her. She's older. And I'm like, I want to grow into that. She's amazing.
Yeah. So on that note, let's throw in one.
Okay.
Biggest stereotype that you don't like about the Enneagram 2?
It probably is just the helper part of it. It just feels really... It is true, but it doesn't grasp kind of the depth of why you're helping. So you can hear it like, oh, they're just running around and being really helpful. And just like, you know, they're the people that are going to like wash your dishes and clean up after every meal. And they just want to do that. And I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. They don't really want to do that. They're compelled to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a good like distinction of it. And that all 2s are like light and happy and outgoing. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure there's a warmth to 2s typically. but
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How about for the seven?
Well, that was light and funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that. They're like, yeah, they're always just trying to make sure everything's fun. Mm-hmm. It's like, that is not true of me.
Yeah.
I'm not actually trying to make sure everything is always fun. I'm actually trying to make sure that everything is always like helpful. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And light enough that you could hear the truth in it. Mm-hmm. So it is that laugh and cry thing. It's like,
I like them.
Yep.
So I think that's fair.
I get frustrated when there's some sort of suggestion that sevens are shallow somehow. We're just looking for fun. Mm-hmm. That's how I hear it.
I know. I hear it that way too with the twos, yeah. Where it's like maybe other types hear it like, wow, you know the needs and you can figure out what is helpful, like what is actually helpful. But I don't actually know. Mm-hmm. Like it's not a conscious knowing of being like, I know what to do. I'm like, I'm just finding myself doing things.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Good one.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Are you ready?
Rapid fire.
Yeah.
How are we doing it? Do you want to ask the question first one? Then I'll ask a question and.
Sure. We can do that.
And then we'll answer. We'll each answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready.
Okay.
Do we get to say why? No. It's rapid fire.
You're already in rapid fire mood.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay. Okay. I'll start. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
Morning person.
Okay. I'm a night owl.
Okay. Beach vacation or mountain retreat?
The beach.
Mountain retreat. So funny. Here we go.
City life or countryside?
Countryside.
City life. Oh, yeah. Are we going to be opposite on everything?
Early bird workout or evening exercise?
Evening exercise.
None of the above. Okay.
You got to pick one.
It would be early morning.
Okay.
Yeah. Workout for sure.
Sweet or savory? Snacks.
Savory.
Sweet.
Jeez, we are going to be opposites on every one of these. All right. Sunrise or sunset?
Oh, I love them both. I think I would pick sunrise on this one.
Oh, we got it in common.
We do?
Yep. Funny. I'm a sunrise guy.
Even though I'm a night owl, I feel like that's not usually night. It's usually like dinner time here. Okay. Podcasts or audiobooks?
Podcasts.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the conversation.
Can you imagine dialogue. If we both didn't say podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad for business. Yeah. I do like a good audiobook though.
Yeah, you listen to way more than me.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Comedy or drama?
Comedy.
Drama for me. That's funny.
Okay, pizza or burgers?
Burgers.
Pizza.
Oh my gosh.
But it also depends on my mood, so it can change.
How you feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Of course. Board games or card games?
Oh, I think card games, maybe.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm a card game guy. Yeah. Really? Oh, that was kind of fun.
That was fun. We were almost opposite on everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were the same on two, maybe three. Maybe three.
I didn't even intend for that to happen.
Pretty obvious that we're opposites.
I don't know how we're here, actually, but whatever.
Here we are.
Okay. Somehow it works. So that's it. Like, that was all my questions. I just have a few, like, wrap-up kind of ideas for us that we can talk through of like, what are we looking forward to? Also, this is funny because I'm probably not here when this is out.
Yeah. And I hope we know what you're going to answer, but let's see what you have to say.
What I'm looking forward to. Yeah. Obviously, I'm looking forward to being in South Africa and meeting our daughter and spending time with our family and starting that whole thing.
I think that's pretty awesome. What am I looking forward to? Small thing. Otto's in a tournament in Vegas in February. Mm-hmm. So we're going to Vegas. That's like short-term small thing. What am I looking forward to in the next year? Finding my way even more.
Yeah.
Just growing in my capacity to coach and care for people and help people grow. That's important to me. Mm-hmm. So I think, I think that would be high on my list of things I'm looking forward to. Some of growth, you know, you have to wait. You have to practice. Just keep practicing. And coaching is just like that. It's practicing.
Yeah.
And so, I'm looking forward to that.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I am too. Like, I'm looking forward to like one of the things I've noticed in this last little while is like, I have some different perspectives on how this adoption process is going for us right now of trying to book things and plan. And I'm different in how I'm handling it.
And yeah, in a good way.
In a good way. It's like empowering. And there's more of a sense of like trust in myself. So I hope that continues.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. How can we encourage our listeners to grow in their journeys?
And find joy.
And find joy. Do you have an answer before I give mine? I do.
Okay, go.
And I think this has come up on an episode maybe this year, but one of the things that I talk about often is this idea of liminal space. Mm. And liminal space in like architectural terms is like the space between where you are and where you are going. So like a hallway, a road, a foyer, you know, that kind of place would be considered liminal spaces. And so there's simply the space between where you are and where you're going. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us stay in the place that we are because we're kind of afraid of the liminal space.
Yeah.
And because it represents the unknown. And when we talk about growth and transformation, there is a sense that you don't fully know where you're going either. Mm-hmm. And or that you might never arrive there. In fact, we probably spend most of our lives in liminal space, to be honest with you. You're about to go through some liminal space, mm-hmm. you know, as you become a mom of two and like all of that that comes with that. So I think what I would say to people in terms of encouraging them is to look around, is to pay attention to the environment that you're in, because the roads we travel, the spaces we're in, even some of the foyers we walk into are actually really beautiful places. Then in a lot of ways, when we can pay attention to what's happening around us, some of those are people, they're relationships that we make and connect with along the way. It's been true for us, even as we met with podcasts, other people that have been on the show that we've learned from all of these strangers in so many ways this year. And some of them have become friends. Mm-hmm. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, what if the liminal space holds the most beauty? And that would require us calming down a little bit and making sure that we got to keep our head up so that we're paying attention to the beauty that's all around us as we grow and learn and experience each other. Mm-hmm. And I think I would add this. There are other people out there in liminal space. In fact, that's pretty much everybody I run into.
Yeah.
And so the idea that maybe we don't want to go into liminal space because it creates all kinds of insecurities and we don't know what that's going to be like and maybe we get anxious or all of that. I get it. But also we're not alone. Mm-hmm. There's people with us out there. Mm-hmm. And that I've definitely seen this last year is that there are, the world is full of people that are just trying to do their best.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean they do it every day. But I think they would want to. Mm-hmm. And so you have that in common with these other people that are out there on that road. So look up. You might find a best friend, an unlikely best friend that has very little in common with you. Mm-hmm. And you might actually get to experience growth and transformation from their perspective. And that is gold. Mm-hmm. And so not to get over some, you know, all mushy, in a lot of ways, my observation and learning from you, how you connect with your heart and your feelings has changed the way that I see the world for the better. And so those are things I always avoided before, and that hasn't been true, and I'm better for it. So I think that's what I'm trying to get at, is that sometimes the space we're in, it's comfortable. Maybe even feel safe, but it isn't taking you where you need to go. And so maybe look into liminal space. It might have something to offer you. Is that encouraging enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Be brave and go for it. I think that's really what I'm trying to say. And it is a funny thing because you can step into liminal space with friends and people you love and feel safe there.
Yeah.
It's doable. So staying where you're at isn't the only safe place out there, but growing together is. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I would want to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's good to end on.
That's a good spot to end.
Yeah.
Hey, I hope you're having a great time in South Africa.
Yeah.
I hope you're falling in love.
Yeah, me too.
I'm pretty sure you already have.
Yeah.
And it's funny how only a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Only a picture makes something real.
Yeah, I had a one-line email in the summer that made it real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So go get her.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thank you so much for listening. I hope that wherever you're at on this, you know, January cold day or hot day, depending on where you're at, that you have enjoyed this episode and that it's helped you to laugh a little and acknowledge a little bit of the tears as well. And we'll see you later. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If this episode or the podcast has been helpful to you in any way, it would mean so much to us if you would take just 30 seconds to do one or all of these three things. First, follow or subscribe to the Unpacked podcast. This helps you never miss an episode and it goes right to your device. And it helps us so more people can find it too. To do this, head to the show page on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Then just look for the follow or the plus sign and click it. It's so important to us and it would mean so much. And hey, while you're there, if you'd be willing to give us a review, preferably 5-star, and share an episode with a friend that you found helpful, we would be so grateful. We are so, so grateful for this little online community. And if you're looking for more ways to support or exclusive content, you can head to our Patreon account and you can find that in the link in our bio. Again, thanks for listening.